It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Jimmy Failla.
I'm Madison Allworth.
I'm Bill Hemmer, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, December 5th, 2022. I'm John Saucier. COVID lockdowns aren't really a thing here in the United States anymore, at least not like they were over the past couple of years. But in China, they are a thing. The country in which the virus originated is also the most populated and one of the most densely populated countries in the world. But are these lockdowns put in place by the government finally going too far?
Your cell phone is supposed to be constantly sort of keeping track of you. And if you turn out to have COVID, if your test turns out to be positive, it will turn red.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're checking in on China today as the country is the only major nation in the world that is still doing extremely strict COVID-19 measures, including lockdowns, and people there have had more than enough of it.
The Chinese government has decided to try and go down the so-called zero COVID route, which means that as soon as a locality is identified as having COVID, they literally shut everything down.
Our guest today is Dean Chang, senior fellow at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies.
There's been video of people being literally welded into their homes. Folks tried to break out of an IKEA because all of a sudden people's phones, and this is how the Chinese government monitors it. Your cell phone is supposed to be constantly sort of keeping track of you. And if you turn out to have COVID, if your test turns out to be positive, it will turn red. And so people at an IKEA were suddenly being locked into the IKEA. This apparently also happened at Shanghai Disneyland, where people were literally being shut in and expected to be there for 2 weeks because they had now been exposed to COVID.
That's an absolutely wild policy because, like you mentioned, anywhere you are, it's all of a sudden like, wait, I'm stuck in IKEA for 2 weeks. I mean, it seems unreasonable, at least to me. But if China's doing that, you can see why there's so much pushback to it. Now, these recent protests have actually made the government lift their policies just a little bit. What have the protesters have been able to achieve here?
Well, the protests seem to have been triggered by an absolute tragedy in Urumqi out in Xinjiang. Apparently, an apartment building caught fire. Fire trucks couldn't get close enough to the fire because the courtyard was littered with COVID barriers, tents, things like that, because the building itself had apparently been locked down. You could hear people screaming, saying, save us, save us. And the belief is that among the dozen or so casualties, including children, people had been welded into their rooms. And that apparently sparked a nationwide set of responses as more and more places, more and more people said, we will not be locked in. That has morphed in some areas into demands that Xi Jinping step down and the Chinese Communist Party step down. People, in fact, in China, it's now almost impossible apparently to do searches on the World Cup because one of the protest slogans is, here are all of these other people who have had COVID who are winning the Gold Cup. You know, players have had COVID and are winning the Gold Cup. Why aren't they locked down? Why are we locked down? And so the central government is facing its worst nightmare, which is people are no longer just protesting COVID. They're protesting the Chinese Communist Party.
And it kind of reminds me of some things we've seen in the United States as well. Here where I am in New York City with mandates being lifted for certain performers to be able to work in the city, but then your regular everyday worker not able to work if they're not vaccinated. So interesting contrast there, albeit, of course, China's much more extreme. And this really affects things across the world because in the United States and many other areas of the world, our economy does a lot of business with China. So when you start shutting down some of these bigger cities, I'm thinking Shanghai, for example, which was one that was shut down during the height of COVID and even after, it affects everybody. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
So because China is tightly integrated into global supply chains, when you have cities being shut down, as you noted, Shanghai as an example, then anything that's, you know, factories in Shanghai close down. But it's much bigger than that. If, for example, you shut down a place like Wuhan, which is upriver from Shanghai, when you shut a city like that down, you're shutting down its ports, which means all the transshipment. So it's not just stuff that's going that was produced in Wuhan. It could be stuff produced elsewhere in China that's simply being transshipped through Wuhan will suddenly no longer be moving. And this is disrupting the internal Chinese economy as well as its export economy. And so one of the things we're seeing globally is a shortage in chips. And we, you know, part of the reason for that is because Chinese factories that produce many of the world's chips are being shut down. And that actually is affecting Apple. One of their big suppliers is Foxconn. And there have been riots at the Foxconn factory because they too have been locked down.
Yeah, let's talk about Apple specifically, because what was going on during a lot of these Chinese protests where the people were airdropping information. It's hard to stage a protest in China. They've got serious censorship going on. You mentioned earlier that searches for the World Cup were being switched around because people were actually using that to try and put these protests together. But one way they were subverting it was using Apple AirDrop to airdrop information to each other. But it actually turns out Apple was restricting that. Fox News tried to ask the question to CEO Tim Cook. He wouldn't answer it for us. Is this having any sort of effects, help otherwise, for people not only organizing the protests in China, but also obviously Apple, which has a major stake there?
Well, let's remember, Tim Cook personally signed a $275 billion deal between Apple and China. The Chinese are not known for altruism. Apple's not exactly these days known for altruism. That $275 billion is a lot of money. Clearly, Mr. Cook and Apple do not want to jeopardize their investment in China, their deals in China. So rather than supporting the cause of freedom, rather than supporting protesters, they have made very clear, we will kill an app that the CCP would prefer us not to operate.
Very interesting stuff. We're speaking today to Dean Chang. He is an expert in China's military and foreign policy, which I want to get to in just a moment, Dean. But you mentioned something that brought up another question I had for you. Speaking of apps, TikTok, it's huge here in the United States, especially blew up during the pandemic with so many people watching videos as they were stuck in during lockdowns. It's owned by Chinese company ByteDance, which has been criticized by some American politicians as possibly taking data from Americans. And most recently, we've heard about possible political influence being put through TikTok. What's your assessment of TikTok? And do you believe that ByteDance, which is aligned with the Chinese Communist Party, may actually be trying to use some data for bad reasons or trying to influence our politics?
Well, I can't speak to ByteDance per se, but it's pretty clear that TikTok has housed its data in China. They've apparently admitted at this point that Chinese engineers have had access to the data. We know that the Chinese have passed laws that basically say any Chinese company must, upon demand, surrender all data they have available. The Chinese, as we've seen with the COVID protests, don't particularly value the right to privacy. So from a security perspective, from a personal security, a data security perspective, but also a security of the United States perspective, TikTok's ability to sit on millions of cell phones, not just, say, of senators and congressmen and generals and admirals, but their children, who presumably all of these folks communicate with, open some really worrisome doors about everything from the ability to create Trojan horses and back doors to simply accessing the data that is sitting on their cell phones, anyone who links to them, their cell phones, etc. So from a security perspective, yes, I think TikTok is a very worrisome potential opening.
In today's podcast, we're giving you some updates on the state of affairs in China. And we're speaking with a China expert, Dean Chang, senior fellow at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies, said COVID lockdowns have been rough in that country, and they're also keeping a close eye on Russia. We'll talk about why coming up next. All right, you've got a background in military and foreign policy, so let's talk about that. Obviously, one of the huge military stories, maybe the biggest military story of 2022, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It started in February. We're in December. It's still going on. Where does China stand in this war in Ukraine? Are they cozying up to Russia? Are they cautiously further away? What are we looking at with that?
I think what we have seen is a very careful policy by the Chinese not to overtly, publicly support the Russians. So they haven't sold Russia weapons. They haven't sold Russia, as far as we know, munitions. But they have maintained economic ties. They have clearly maintained political ties. Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin have said that they have a limitless friendship. They both agree that the greatest catastrophe of the 20th century was the collapse of the Soviet Union. Obviously, we in the West would disagree with that.
Right.
So what we are seeing is a lot of sort of support at the in the deep background, the economic aspects, the financial aspects, but not going so far as to actively provide munitions. Although the Chinese point out, you know, NATO provides weapons directly to Ukraine. What would be the difference if we provided that to Russia? And then always carefully saying, not that we're doing that.
Yeah, very careful policy indeed. They're a little less careful when it comes to Taiwan. China is. Obviously, this has come back into the spotlight as well with the war on Ukraine. It's like, if Russia can invade Ukraine, what's stopping China from invading Taiwan? Do you think China looks at how this Russian invasion has gone for Russia and has possibly changed the strategy on what the future holds for Taiwan?
They remain committed to unification with Taiwan by force if necessary. I think that what they have seen with the Russian performance in Ukraine is that conventional war is actually very hard. And the Russians were going across a land border. It's even harder when you're doing an amphibious invasion. Think the opening sequence in Saving Private Ryan and make it much, much worse today with modern munitions. So I think that the Chinese are carefully analyzing what has been going on in Ukraine, just as they've carefully analyzed, for example, the war between Azerbaijan and Armenia to learn more about drone operations, and are integrating all of that into their war plans for Taiwan, which they will implement if directed to do so by Xi Jinping.
Scary stuff for sure. Dean Chang, a senior fellow from the Potomac Institute of Policy Studies. We appreciate your insight. Really good stuff there. And thanks for taking the time to join us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.